2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 reads, "Test yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" It's a good time of the year for us to step back and to examine and to evaluate our faithfulness to God. Test yourselves. You know, God certainly is going to judge us, but we need to test ourselves. It's an open book test to where we can see what is expected of us and see if you are in the faith. A lot of times in sermons, sometimes I think I even have a sermon entitled "The Faith." A lot of people talk about my faith and your faith and a faith or some faith. This doesn't say test to see whether you are practicing some faith or your faith. It's the faith. There is a standard of faith. Romans 10:17, that this tells us that this faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It goes on to say that Jesus Christ is in you. We noticed that this morning, that if we are practicing the Word of God, if we are keeping His commandments in John chapter 14, if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments, and His Father and will love us, and the Father and the Son will make their abode within us. Jesus Christ is in you. If you are hearing the Word of God and practicing the will of God, as it's revealed in the Word of God. Jesus Christ is in you unless indeed you fail the test. If you're not hearing the truth, you can't practice the truth. If you're hearing the truth and not practicing the truth, you fail the test. You're not doing it. And so it's not just, faith isn't faith just because we hear it. Faith is faith when we do it. When it works. Some people talk about they have faith only. They don't need to practice any works. And they condemn people who say, well, there's this work that you have to do and that work that we have to do. And they say, no, not saved by works. We're not saved by works alone, but we are saved by works. We're going to be judges of whether we're working the things that God has taught us to do. So, this evening I'd like for us to indeed examine ourselves, to test ourselves, to see if we are in the faith, in some very basic areas, really. The first one is, examine your Bible study. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul wrote to Timothy, the evangelist, and he says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Give attention to reading the Scriptures. Give attention to doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. And we noticed this morning how that Paul warned Timothy about false teachers and false doctrines and the importance of Timothy teaching sound doctrine, for the time would come when they would not endure sound doctrine, but would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell us what we want to hear. Tell us what tickles our ears, makes us feel good. He said, those teachers are going to be out there. Timothy was to pay attention to the doctrine he was teaching, that it was in accordance to what he had read. Exhortation. It's one of those double-barreled words. It means to warn, and it means to encourage. And so, as an evangelist, of course, Timothy was to do both. He was to warn those who were not walking in the way of faith, and he was to encourage those who were. Now, is just an evangelist supposed to do that? No, certainly not. All of us are to be engaged in that. Certainly one of the reasons that we come together in an assembly such as this is to encourage one another, to exhort one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Give attention to reading. How much are you reading? Are you reading every day? How much are you reading every day? Do you read in the morning or in the evening? Or can you answer yes to that question? To both. Read in the morning and the evening. Do you set a schedule? You know, last year we shared a New Testament reading plan that you could read through the New Testament in 3 months. That reading plan is still back there that you can pick up if you haven't done so already. Think about that. If you were just to read the New Testament this year, and let's say read it through 3 times. Read through the New Testament. You could do it 4 times. But you ought to give some attention to the Old Testament. It's always good to go back and to read those things. I'm thoroughly enjoying the high school class that and being in there and teaching those students and refreshing my memory to the things that were taught there. It gives me some ideas for some sermons that will probably be coming here sometime before too much longer. Give attention to reading. Are you? I mean, this is part of the faith. This is part of what God tells us to do. Give attention to reading. What if I'm not reading? Can I say I'm in the faith? Can I say I'm passing the test if I'm not reading the Bible? First Peter 3 and verse 15 tells us to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So much in that verse. In fact, one of these days I'm going to do a sermon just on that verse because there's so much in there to consider. And sanctifying the Lord in our hearts, setting Him apart, certainly in our hearts and setting him in the proper place in our hearts. Always being ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. You know, a lot of people have a hope, but they don't really have a reason for their hope. They're just kind of hoping against hope. It's more like a wish than a hope. But Peter here is talking about a reason for your hope. What is the reason for your hope? If it's not what you read here in the Word of God. If God isn't God, if His promises aren't true, do you have a reason for your hope of living with Him? No, not at all. But how can you give an answer to someone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you if you're not reading? If you're not refreshing your memory in the things of God and His Word and the wonders that He has revealed to us in His Word to share with others. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. You know, if we're setting God apart in our heart, then certainly we can set apart some time in our daily life for spending with Him and reading His Word, can't we? Somebody ought to shake their head this way. Yeah. Certainly, we should be spending time with God, letting God speak to us from His Word. Oh, I've read it before. It says the same thing this time that it did the last 10 times I read it. Yeah, I know. I know. But doesn't your appreciation of God's revelation grow each time you read it? And your ability to meditate on it and to rightly divide this Word of truth, doesn't it grow? Each time you read it and each time you meditate on it, examine your prayer life. You know, when we read the Bible, that's God talking to us. Isn't it? I find it just a marvelous thing that Almighty God, God is so much wiser and smarter than any single one of us or all of us put together, has invited us to talk to Him. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, sometimes we're in awe if a certain celebrity would would happen to come into our presence, and you might have the opportunity to say something to them or not, and then you think, well, I don't know if I should say something to them or not. I remember one time, a couple of times, Debbie and I have went to the Memorial Tournament in Columbus, Ohio. That's one of Jack Nicklaus's, well, it's Jack Nicklaus's, signature tournaments, annual tournament now, one of the major golf tournaments. And, from a young boy, I was always impressed with Jack Nicklaus and all of that. And I can remember one time, here I'm an adult. I'm probably 40 years old or something. And Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson are playing together, and they're walking up the path, right here, And it's like, I couldn't say anything. Didn't know if I was supposed to say anything to him. Some of those, we were there usually on the practice days, and it's more casual, and you can talk to the players if you want to. You can't do that during a tournament and that type of thing. But anyway, you don't know if they would appreciate you talking to them or not. God invites us to talk to Him. God teaches us to talk to Him. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, pray always with all prayer. Have you ever wondered about that phrase? What's all prayer? Well, that really is just a different way of saying pray about anything that's on your mind. Pray about anything that concerns you. Pray with all prayer and all forms of prayer. And we could break our study of prayer down, couldn't we? And talk about the different kinds of prayer and the things that God has taught us to pray about. But pray always with all prayer and supplication. We've talked about that before. Supplication is an intensified form of prayer. Supplication in the Spirit, meaning in agreement with the Holy Spirit, in agreement with what the Holy Spirit has taught us to pray about, being watchful to this end, being watchful in praying with all prayer. Watchful means that you don't have a casual attitude about prayer. You are on watch. You are on guard. This is something that is a priority in your life. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Continue in this. And supplication for all saints. So it's not just intense pleading about things that you're concerned about in your life, but things that you're concerned about in the life of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just stand in awe of the fact that God has invited us to do that. To give this amount of time to speaking to Him, and this amount of energy in speaking to Him. Because when you multiply that by the number of Christians throughout the world who are praying with all prayer and supplication, how do you hear all that? How do you answer all of that? There are just so many things about God that are beyond our comprehension, isn't there? From everlasting to never began, will never end. He exists outside the realm of creation. If God had to dwell within the laws of physics and all of the things that you and I have to abide by, He wouldn't be God. He lives outside those things. He created those things. He's beyond our comprehension. And it's beyond my comprehension that He invites us to present all things that are a concern to us to Him. That He can help us in accomplishing His will here on this earth. He's told us what His will is. But in for this will to be carried out, we need to know His will, and we need to appeal to Him for help in carrying His will out. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. There's absolutely nothing that any of us should worry about. Some of us have upcoming medical procedures. Some of us know that we have certain things that are wrong with us physically, maybe even life-ending type of things. Should we worry about that? Is that going to help? Are you going to get better if you worry about it? No, that's not going to help, is it? In fact, if anything, I mean, even medical science tells us that if you worry about it, it'll just contribute to making it worse. Maybe accelerate the problem. Don't worry about anything, God says. Nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, you've got a concern about something, present it to God. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, before you even see the answer to the prayer, thank God for the answer that you receive, knowing that His will is what's best for us. That He doesn't look through hindsight, He sees ahead, and He knows what's best. Let your request, let your concerns, let your request, let them be made known unto God. He's invited us to do that. Are you doing that? Or are you worrying? Why is it that people would rather worry than pray? I've never understood that. The answer of prayer, or the answer to prayer, is largely dependent upon us being in the faith. Test yourselves whether you are in the faith. You know, the answer to our prayers is going to be dependent upon us being in the faith. John 15 and verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If my words abide in you, ask what you desire and it shall be done." Because how are you going to pray? You're going to pray in agreement with what God has told us to pray about. And if we are praying in agreement with the will of God as it's revealed in His Word, why wouldn't God answer that prayer that His will might be accomplished? See how that works? It's as simple as that. When we're praying that God's will be done, and we know what His will is because He's revealed it to us in His Word, we're praying in agreement with that, Jesus says, it shall be done for you. But if I don't know what God would have me to pray for, if I doubt whether God will answer my prayer or not, God has said, if you doubt, you're like a wave on the sea being tossed to and fro. Don't think your prayers are going to be answered. It has to be asked in faith, believing, trusting. 1 John 3 and verse 22, John says, "Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." If I'm in the faith, if I am keeping His commandments and doing those things that are pleasing to Him in His sight, He says, whatever you ask, you will receive it from Him. Do you believe that? Believe it. I know it's awesome. How does that happen? You mean Almighty God cares about what's going on in my life? Yeah. Yeah. Because He cares whether you've put Him into your life and you're living for Him and honoring Him and glorifying Him by living in accordance to His commandments. So how's your prayer life? Are you passing the test? Are you praying always in all prayer and supplication? Are you in the faith? Examine your personal evangelism. In your teaching of the gospel, you remember that Jesus told his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was true for them in their generation, and it's true for every Christian in each generation that you and I live in. You know, another thought occurred to me that I guess you start thinking about these things as you get older and people start passing out of your life. People that are in your family and people that are maybe, you know, in the headlines and that type of thing. And it just kind of dawns on you that, you know, we're all just kind of here in 100-year segments. You know, that you're spending your century thereabouts here with a bunch of other people in the same century. You're not living your century with Abraham or with in the days of Hitler, maybe some of us were on the backside of his life, I guess you might say. But we kind of share a 100-year segment of life with our generation, don't we? Each generation needs to hear the gospel. How are they going to hear it if you as a Christian aren't teaching it? If you're not going and preaching or teaching the gospel to everyone. From a very young age, these words began to impress me. From a very young age, I was impressed with the fact that the Son of Man came into the world to save sinners, to seek and save the lost, because God loves the lost. And he doesn't want them to be lost. And it dawned upon me that, you know, if I'm not doing it, who is going to do it? Well, there are other people to do it. But who's going to teach the people that I know? Who's going to teach the people that I work with? Who's going to teach the people that I play with? Who's going to teach the people that I go to school with if I'm not teaching them? Somebody's going to teach them, but what are they going to teach them? They're going to hear, but what are they going to hear? If you're not speaking the truth, if you're not studying the Bible with them, what is their faith going to be? Are they going to abide in the faith? How are they going to do that if they haven't heard the faith from you? Now that means that you have to give of your time and maybe give up some things that you would like to do with your time. But there's no better way that you can spend your time than in teaching someone the gospel of Christ and bringing them to Almighty God through Christ and their obedience to the gospel and their continuing to abide in the gospel and the doctrine of Christ. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every generation of Christian needs to take that to heart, that we might teach it to everyone in our generation. Because if we don't, who will? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Well, why were they scattered? Remember? Why were they scattered? Because there was a great persecution against them because they believed and practiced the gospel of Christ. They were scattered from Jerusalem. They actually ran for their lives because they had been they had become Christians, and they were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. But although they fled and were scattered from Jerusalem because they were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, they continued to teach the apostles' doctrine. They continued to teach the gospel of Christ. They went everywhere preaching the word. They didn't go everywhere hiding in caverns and caves and keeping the gospel to themselves. They went everywhere preaching the word. Today you have people who don't want to hear the word. There were people in the first century that didn't want to hear the word. What did these people do? They continued to preach the word anyway. There's nobody going to be able to stand before God on the day of judgment and say, well, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And you know, here's this Christian over here. They should have told me. I know I told them not to tell me, but and I didn't want to hear it, but they should have told me anyway. And you know, they're right. Should have told them anyway. Live it anyway. Speak it anyway. Let people know who you stand for and who you live for. One of the things that impressed me at the close of Camp Noah this year, you know, we have on Friday night we have a pizza party for the older campers, and so I think it's age 14, right? Age 14 and up, and there's a couple of boys' cabins and a couple of girls' cabins that they come to the dining hall with their counselors and so forth, and they give out cabin awards and that type of thing. And one of the young men spoke that I've known him since he was a babe in my arms, literally. He's a senior in high school this past year. Big problems in his school in a lot of different ways. And a lot of things, of course, being advanced morally and you might say immorally in his schools, even supported by the teachers and administration and that type of thing. Not popular to be a Christian. And I love what he said. He says, I decided to come out as a Christian. I decided to come out as a Christian. I'm not going to be a closet Christian anymore. I'm going to let people know who I live for and why I live and the wonderful things that we can have in Christ Jesus. Because if I don't say it, nobody else is going to. You know, and that young man has won some of his friends to Christ. He's gained a lot of enemies. But for the few friends and the few people that will listen, he's willing to make those enemies that he might bring others to Christ. Persecuted? Yeah, he's persecuted. But he still lets his light shine and lets people know the source of the light that's in his life. That is Jesus Christ. An almighty God who loves him and cares about him. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you passing that test? Are you in the faith? These who were persecuted went everywhere preaching the word. I'd say they were passing that test. We need to pass that test too. You know, we can do it by teaching, sitting down with someone and opening these pages and letting them read for themselves what the Word of God says. And we can do it by living and setting the right example of faith. James chapter 2 and verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Someone says they believe in God, but they don't give any evidence of their belief in God. They live a life the same way the rest of society lives. Can their proclamation of faith save them? It's a rhetorical question. It's not a philosophical question that there's, well, it depends on how you answer it. No, it's a rhetorical question. No, faith alone is not going to save you. Faith isn't faith until it works. It's just an idea. It's just a philosophy. It's just a theory. If you're just contemplating faith, faith needs to work. Verse 18, he says, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Here's Paul's answer to that. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. Could he have said, I will show you the faith by my works? Yeah, I think he could have. I think James knew what the faith was, and he was living the faith, and he was passing the test. And that should be the goal of each and every one of us. To be able to say, I will show you the faith by my works. By the life that I live. By the character that I display. By the things that are important to me in my life. I will show you the faith. The faith that comes by hearing the Word of God, by the life that I live. You know, we should be praying about that. That should be something that should be in our daily prayers. That should be in our thoughts as we read the Bible every day. In fact, it should motivate us to read the Bible every day. Because I want people to see the faith in my life, I need to know the faith. And the only way I can know it is if I read it and study it and rightly divide it and meditate on it and make it a part of my life. I saw something earlier this week. You know, this is a time of year people start talking about resolutions and breaking old habits and establishing new habits. And this was a doctor, and I found this to be interesting. The person asked the doctor the question. He says, can you break old habits in favor of establishing new habits? And the doctor's answer was is that our studies reveal that you can't break old habits. Now, I disagree with that answer, to a great extent on a lot of things. You know, that people are addicted to certain things. You know, you can be addicted to sugar and to tobacco and alcohol and drugs and all kinds of things, and you can break those addictions. Now, whether you want to say that's a bad habit or not, I'll leave that up to you. But the second part of the answer was what I really found to be interesting. I mean, this doctor kind of gave up on breaking old habits, and I think that what they were talking about was maybe procrastination and, you know, some of that kind of thing. But the second part of the answer was really interesting to me. And that was that if you concentrate on doing something in your life different than you did before, and basically establishing a new habit, and you concentrate and you force yourself to do it for 21 days, it will become a new habit. It will become a lifestyle to you. It won't be something that you have to concentrate on so much. It will become more automatic with you. You know, and I found that to be interesting. You know, think about if you're having trouble finding time to study the Bible, well, what are you doing with your time? Everybody's got the same amount of time. It's just a matter of what you've allocated your time to. It might mean that instead of doing this, you're going to read your Bible. Do that for 21 days. And see if you don't break an old habit and establish a new habit. However you want to look at it. I will show you my faith. I'm not so interested really in showing people my faith. I want to show people the faith. By my works. By working the faith in my life. And that will involve creating some new habits. In Matthew 5 and verse 16, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus just said it this way, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Let your light shine. Let people see it. Come out of the closet. Declare that you're a Christian, a follower of Christ, and don't let it just be from the words of your lips that come off of your lips, but let it be seen in the actions of your life. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. I hope this has been a good examination for you. I hope you've been challenged. I hope you'll accept the challenge that will be following Christ closer in this year than we ever have, and that we'll let Him be seen. Don't fail the test. Pass the test. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, turn from your sin and turn to Him, to walk with Him, to live for Him. Confess Him and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Continue to abide in His Word. Be a true disciple of Christ. You're here today and you're a child of God, but out of favor with Him, and you need to make things right with Him and return to Him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation tonight in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?